How beautiful do the words have to be before they conquer every heart? How will you know if I'm even in the right key if you make me stop before I start? If I came back as a dolphin, would you listen to me then? Would you let me be your friend? Would you let me in? You can cut off all my fears, but to your ways I will not bend. I'll die before I let you tell me how to swim. The Necessary Triumvirate of Prince, Proudhon, and Alice require of us that we assert our right to a claim bigger than states. Proudhon, like Prince, like all who give to love their primary allegiance, like all for whom love is the law, the reason, the point, the all, Proudhon has had to be inventive with language in order to show us truth, show us that truth is love. As 10,000 years and more of class has plunged it in a fog of words that blurs. And so Proudhon, with Prince, unmuddies our minds, gives us the language to clarify and believe again in our right to freedom. Prince gave his life so we could claim it. There will never be another like him. Quote from Proudhon: the definition of sovereignty was derived from the definition of the law. The law, they said, is the expression of the will of the sovereign. Then, under a monarchy, the law is the expression of the will of the king. In a republic, the law is the expression of the will of the people. Aside from the difference in the number of wills, the two systems are exactly identical. Both share the same error, namely, that the law is the expression of a will. It ought to be the expression of a fact. Moreover, they followed good leaders. They took the citizen of Geneva for their prophet and the contrat social for their Quran. Bias and prejudice are apparent in all the phrases of the new legislators. The nation had suffered from a multitude of exclusions and privileges. Its representatives issued the following declaration: all men are equal by nature and before the law. An ambiguous and redundant declaration, says Proudhon. Men are equal by nature. Does that mean they are equal in size, beauty, talents, and virtue? No. They meant, then, political and civil equality. Then it would have been sufficient to have said, all men are equal before the law. But what is equality before the law? Neither the Constitution of 1790, nor that of 93, nor the granted charter, nor the accepted charter have defined it accurately. All imply an inequality in fortune and station, incompatible with even a shadow of equality in rights. In this respect, it may be said that all our constitutions have been faithful expressions of the popular will. I'm going to prove it. Formerly, the people were excluded from civil and military offices. It was considered a wonder when the following high-sounding article was inserted into the Declaration of Rights. Quote, all citizens are equally eligible to office. Free nations know no qualifications in their choice of officers, save virtues and talents, unquote. They certainly ought to have admired so beautiful an idea. They admired a piece of nonsense. Why, the sovereign people, legislators, and reformers see in public offices, to speak plainly, only opportunities for pecuniary advancement. And I comment, it cannot be otherwise until we are all free from necessity, i.e., until we feed and support ourselves through the free exercise of our own gifts and mutual assistance globally. And at what point in our analysis could we have seen that the absence of the daily exercise of mutual assistance globally means fascism? Does it logically derive from the facts of centralization and accumulation of cash in fewer and fewer hands, that we are made the puppets utterly of those who control our ability to feed, clothe, and shelter ourselves? Prince can call the U.S. state fascist because he's being blasted, and that is how it went for me as well. Despite the logic leading there. How many made bodies of skin and bone while mucus swells the seat of the skull? Do we need to see before enough of us demand and seize our right to be free?
Why does my brother have to go hungry? Beautiful do the words have to be?